The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Locally, Philadelphia's Mayor Sherelle Parker is expected to hold a live news conference to talk about all the striking different worker, including District Council 47, which, of course, represents the white-collar workers, that they're called, PPA, PHA, other agencies. And remember, our sanitation workers and all of our other great hardworking hands-on so-called blue-collar workers, they're still voting. And we'll see. Hopefully, I'm crossing my fingers, my garbage will finally get picked up. But other headlines as we look at what's going on, and we'll get to President Trump here in Pennsylvania yesterday. Boy, it's not really making big headlines. Wonder why. What a success here in Pennsylvania. So we'll celebrate that because I think it is such a great, it was a great moment for Pennsylvania, for AI, for energy, and nearly $100 billion. This is private money being investigated by, yes, Pennsylvania companies, but as well, we're talking about companies like Amazon. And then I'll take you through how Governor Josh Shapiro and the Commonwealth of PA putting out that news release saying, well, actually, this is not mentioning Trump or Senator Dave McCormick, but really claiming, I'll say, credit for a big chunk of that. So I'll tell you what that is. That's my little tease for you. And as well, we're talking about the Justice Department's latest claims about Jeffrey Epstein. I'm not going to focus too much on it because I know you're all sick of hearing about Epstein, but calls for transparency. And yep, this is from a Republican, House Speaker Mike Johnson. So we'll get to all of that. But yes, I want to get to your calls. Thanks for being here. Let's get to my friend Kathy in Bucks County. Hey, Kathy.
Hey, Dawn, how are you?
Good. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome. My comment's a little off the beaten path today, but as I said to the producer, I just want to know when are the people that have caused all this crime are going to be held accountable? Because it just seemed like with Trump, if somebody did something right away, they were in jail immediately. Mm-hmm. But yes. It just feels like it's a constant investigation on this, on that, the auto pen. I mean, you say, okay, I mean, our comment when we're talking is always, okay, they found that they did this, but they'll never be held accountable.
Yeah.
Nobody ever goes to jail.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Kathy. Thank you. I always love to hear your voice, and thank you for your call because you're a voice of reason. But you're right. Whether it's that, whether it's even, I know Senator Rand Paul, I reported yesterday, had renewed calls to bring into question Dr. Anthony Fauci when we talk about COVID and what he knew and what was financed and all of that. And we, in our instinct, and yesterday, you know, Rich Scioli reporting live from that great economic AI summit, you know, thinking back in the day, and we all remember Scioli, and in his funny way, of course, you know, because he does that great Anthony Fauci imitation, but even this was very early on. I'll never forget it. I remember, you know, saying to him, it's like a Scooby-Doo episode, you know, where, and, you know, look, let's unmask. And who is the villain? Look, it's old man Fauci. And this was so long ago. I can't even believe we're still talking about it. Where are these investigations? And so it gets frustrating. I'll take you to last week, not even a week ago. It was late last week. And we were talking about what was going on in California with that cannabis farm owner who turns out the guy's worth a very wealthy multimillionaire. He's worth like $300 million, a donor to Gavin Newsom, the Democrat, right? And to a lot of Democrats. And this guy is being accused of hiring more than 300 illegals. And some of those workers have been proved to be very dangerous, convicted predators. One of them, a you know, convicted of being a pedophile and trafficking children. It's just sick. And then all those kids that were working there, that there were child labor laws, allegedly, I have to say allegedly, being violated. Where are the charges? Why isn't that guy, you know, in a solitary confinement cell like J6ers were, right? They were immediately, including locally across the country, they did not have due process. And nobody was saying, hey, we should have due process for everybody. But today you see Democrats, right, saying, well, these illegals should have due process. But they weren't, where were they when American-born individuals were denied due process for years? And then it turns out they were basically, they would either plead out to a misdemeanor or not. I mean, some of them took some plea deal and they were let out. As long as they pleaded guilty to something, even if it was the most minor offense, as long as they just said, I'm guilty of something. Okay. Well, then you pleaded guilty to something, even though it's just a minor, you know, misdemeanor offense, which nobody would ever go to jail for. That was how. So this is, it just goes back to this idea that if you are a Republican, and in particular, unless you just say, oh, that Donald Trump, that Donald J. Trump, he's a horrible person. Oop. If you said that, then you were out. And we've reported on all of that. We can't forget it, because the thing about it is they'll go back to it. That's what we learned. They will go back to it. They're just biting at the bit to do so. So we've got all that going on. 855-839-1210. As we look at what else, Dan Borowski, as we look
Hey,
you.
How are you?
Good morning. Man, it was like this crazy busy morning.
It's a packed morning. It really is.
And then we had, and I don't want you to feel bad because Phil Almquist, since the we've had so many technical problems, thing, so apologies.
Yeah.
It's the Russians.
Yeah. Yeah, don't like when that happens, but had some trouble loading there. Well, it was more user error, to be quite honest, when looking back.
I don't know. We had some sound problems. We'll blame Tony Bruno. Because even Tone had technical problems. And he's in Florida.
Tony
so
never has
that.
Technical
and
problems.
He never has.
Come on.
The legendary.
Ridiculous.
Iconic. Tony Bruno.
I was looking to see if we can get some audio, but it hasn't happened yet. Trump's waiting on the Bahrain PM, Prime Minister, to arrive at the White House. So we will have some footage of that when that happens. But I do have everything queued up for you, Dawn, now, if you wanted to explore yesterday's event with Trump here in Pennsylvania. Or you also mentioned Mike Johnson's commentary on Epstein, if you wanted to go that direction.
Let's go. I'll tell you what. Let's go to Trump first, because we haven't done a whole lot of this in the past, you know, 5 hours and 10 minutes, because I start on Kale and Company at 6 a.m. with the news, and we go from there. And there's oftentimes there's so much to talk about, and there's so much breaking. So, yeah, let's review this, Dan. And you've done a great job of, you know, advancing even Greg's cut sheet. So we have even more. It's mo beta, let's just say. So you want to take us?
Yeah, we'll go quickly start with Trump at 1D. He talks about why they're here, kind of giving an overall direction for what they're expecting to achieve from yesterday's event.
We're here today because we believe that America's destiny is to dominate every industry and be the first in every technology. And that includes being the world's number one superpower in artificial intelligence. And we are way ahead of China. I have to say, we're way ahead of China. And the plants are starting up, the construction's starting up. And did you notice that 2 days ago they just announced that they had a budget surplus of $25 billion in this country? Right, Howard? They never saw anything like that. Everyone would say, where did that? That's been like decades, $25 billion, and that's peanuts compared to what it's. And it's good business practices. The tariffs are coming in by the hundreds of billions of dollars, and they haven't. They're really at the infant stage right now. It's only on cars and steel, mostly. And the rest is starting to kick in.
And by the way, speaking of tariffs, we're not going to do this now because we want to focus on what happened in Pennsylvania, but don't let me forget this, that there was a real turnaround by a major CEO that had once criticized President Trump for talking about tariffs, and he admitted and said it was important to admit publicly that he was just wrong. And because of all these numbers that have come in with tariffs and how it's happening, and now that he sees it, he says, you know what? It's important. Okay. I was wrong. A lot of people were wrong. Let's just admit it and move on. Trump was right. Had it wrong. I thought it was, you know, it takes a big person to say, hey, I just didn't think it would work. This has never been done before. And was, you know, just praising Trump, giving him credit, but also just like taking that accountability. Cool. I celebrate that.
It talks about the specifics of investments here in the state of Pennsylvania.
Perfect.
Here you go with that one. Wrong.
This afternoon, 20 leading technology and energy companies are announcing more than $92 billion of investments in Pennsylvania. And if you want, we could probably get them up. Let's talk to them right now. But this is a really triumphant day for the people of the Commonwealth and for the United States of America. We're doing things that nobody ever thought possible.
And that's the truth. And that's why, you know, when you look at your local news, and I'm always monitoring all the local news stations here in Philadelphia and across the country. Huh. How come they don't talk about this? Now, combined with everything that's happening, actually, they're being credited with it's nearly $100 billion of new money. And this is private money. And I, you know what I thought of as we go to our next clip, but I thought about this today. I thought, you know, when I think of the Biden administration, I just remember all the time it was, we were giving money. How much money? Look, Zelensky's coming here, or Biden's going there, or the Biden administration. Remember this in the Met, and this is how much money we're giving so-and-so. Remember when Biden went to Africa, for example, the continent of Africa? We were always doling out money, the ultimate sugar daddy, but it was our money. It's easy to give somebody else's money. In this administration, it's the opposite. It's how much money that President Trump is raking in. He's always making the announcement, that amazing trip overseas to the Middle East. Remember that one? All this new money being brought in, raking in money. And these are private dollars. This is not our tax dollars being doled out to the rest of the world. So let's move on, Dan. And this is an example of work being done.
In the campaign, I promised that I would save the Homer City power plant 50 miles east of here that Joe Biden's green new scam forced to shut down. It's a green new scam, greatest scam in history, the greatest in history. Well, the auto pen, I think, is a bigger scam, if you want to know. Actually, I do believe that. Today, we're pleased to report that a $15 billion investment from Knighthead Capital Management. Who's here from Knighthead? Well, I'm very impressed with that. $15 billion. That's pretty good. It's a great location, too. Wow. That's very impressive. Thank you very much. That's a big number, huh? It's a big number, and yet it's peanuts relative to Waterwood. That's a good job. But the Homer City site is being resurrected as the largest natural gas-fired power plant ever to be built in North America. Is that right, huh? That's fantastic.
Fantastic. So this was a great day. It was a proud moment for Pennsylvania, for Senator Dave McCormick, his wife Dina. I love that he gives credit to Dina Powell McCormick, who he says, you know, this was her brainchild. Say, let's have a summit. And to his credit, Senator John Fetterman was there, and as well, Governor Shapiro was there. And Governor Shapiro, I saw this morning, the Commonwealth, or yesterday, actually, late, they put out this word that actually Governor Shapiro was the one. He's sort of, you know, putting it out there that this is a joint effort with Governor Shapiro. To be fair, you know, the Amazon, all those huge announcements with the Amazon investments, to be fair, Shapiro's administration was involved with that. And even McCormick gave Shapiro, you know, credit that it was bipartisan. They were working together. So bipartisanship. But
come on. Shapiro would really invite Donald Trump to Pennsylvania to speak. Yeah, yeah.
Well, Shapiro will admit to working with McCormick. He's not going to admit to working with or giving Trump any credit.
Yeah.
But, you know, that. So I kind of just, you
know. Can we hear from McCormick?
Just smile. Yeah, let's hear from Senator.
What's happening here today is absolutely historic. Your visit and your leadership has catalyzed $90 billion of investment in energy and AI revolution in Pennsylvania. $90 billion.
You have to admit.
Your presence and those commitments showcase Pennsylvania's story to the world. And today's summit begins to deliver on the promises that you and I made to the working families of Pennsylvania by creating many thousands of new jobs.
New jobs. And keep in mind, as we speak about Pennsylvania and the past, and I've done a lot of reporting on this and interviewing investigative reporters who look at Pennsylvania, think about all the jobs that left due to the tough regulations. So we need to bring back these jobs. We should be number one, and hopefully we will be once again. Let's talk about tariffs, as we've given you all the numbers with them. Dan, are you going to OTB or 2C?
I think
tariffs.
Yeah, B's just a general thought. They're both pretty short, so we can probably fit them both in here.
Okay, let's do it.
Here you go.
Payments start on August 1st. The only thing about that's really sacred about August 1st is that's when payments start. So they have to start paying billions of dollars to you and people. Are you a citizen of the country?
Yes, sir.
All right, good. You'll be very happy because you're going to be getting a lot of money. Just like they found a budget surplus, we have a budget surplus of $25 billion. Everyone said, how did that happen? It hasn't happened in many years. It happened because of good management and tariffs.
And if you notice with Trump, and this is just a private sector thing, you never heard about the deadlines. You know, and yes, he has extended deadlines, but August 1st, this is when your payment is due. He talks about the deadlines, and he has self-imposed deadlines, which I think is a great discipline. Let's go now to, let's specifically talk about the tariffs on big pharma. And what
pharmaceuticals will be tariffed probably at the end of the month, and we're going to start off with a low tariff and give the pharmaceutical companies a year or so to bill, and then we're going to make it a very high tariff because we got to move them in. Look, there's two ways you do it. You make money and or you have them move here so they don't have to pay the tariff. Those are the two ways. The pharmaceutical companies are moving back to America where they should be.
And that's just it. Oftentimes you've heard me say, and I'm not alone in this, some of you have said this, you know, when we say China is the enemy, and I say, well, you know that prescription pill you're swallowing every morning? Where was it made? China. So, I quite frankly, I don't take prescription meds, but if I did, I would like to know that my prescription meds are made in the USA, number one. And number two, that is incentivized within this to say if they're made in the USA, if they're produced here, then they won't have those tariffs. I think that's a smart idea. I'm going to break here because around the corner, you're going to hear a CEO, and this is a big deal, and this did go viral, so we want to just review this with you. A CEO who admits Trump on tariffs was the right way to go. I think this is a big moment, and then you'll hear, because the CEO happens to be on a more liberal-leaning broadcast, news broadcast at the time, and that reaction. So we'll take you there. And I think you're going to enjoy this little interaction as well as the admission that, yeah, you know what? Good for Trump. He was right on the tariffs front. So promises made, promises kept right here in Pennsylvania. You know, you've heard me talk about replacing my windows and doors with Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding. And I've been a Chapman customer for many years, as you well know, if you're a listener. If you're thinking about redoing your siding, this is the perfect time, and I'm going to tell you why, because Chapman is offering 20% off all siding, and that means whether you want the fiber cement or the vinyl siding. Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding, they have you covered. Not just, here's the thing with siding. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing, and maybe you want to do a makeover, but this is not just for superficial reasons, because when you get this high quality, either the fiber cement or the vinyl, when you get that high quality siding, it means that you're protecting, you're creating this barrier around, a shield, if you will, around your home to protect it from all of the really harsh weather that we're having. And some of it's unforeseen, whether it's high winds, we're supposed to get hail this weekend. It's crazy weather, floods. So with over 30 years of experience, Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding, they complete every project with incredible and impeccable care and precision. And they always go that extra mile to work with you and all the different styles, all the options. And they're gonna fit within your family budget. And that's important too. Don't delay. Take advantage of 20% off today. Experience the Chapman family difference for yourself. By the way, they also offer 18-month interest-free financing. What a wonderful thing that is. You can text them or call them, 610-431-8898, 610-431-8898, ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. Chapman, the name I trust. Tell them Dawn sent you. This is
lemonade! Fresh squeezed lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
It's incredible. Huh. Once again, not making huge news. The White House put out a news release on it. Forbes picked it up, so that's good. But this is the Home Depot co-founder who says he's sold on Trump. This is Ken Langone, co-founder of Home Depot. And just listen to this exchange, if you will. And he's on CNBC. And he's, why is he praising Trump? Listen.
Look, let me tell you right now. I am sold on Trump. In fact, I'll say this. I think he's got a good shot at going down in history as one of our best presidents ever.
That is a real turnaround because you didn't want to vote for him.
I told you the reason. I want to tell you, I'm a believer. What I'm seeing happening is absolutely nothing short of a great thing. And there's a beat. People are walking with more bounce than they're. It's all around.
I gave you quite a bit of grief.
Huh?
I gave you grief.
You give me grief?
I gave you grief when it was a binary choice. You're still complaining about Trump and it was a binary choice. It's like, are you kidding me?
Knowledge implies one thing. When you made a mistake, admit it.
Okay.
Okay.
I think this guy is turning out to be a president.
Right.
One of the pilots on that miraculous trip to Iran that we wiped out, whatever the hell we wiped out.
Right.
He said, you're the only guy that in the presidency that would have done what you did. One of the pilots said that.
He's sold. Wow. What an optimistic, nice, positive. Huh. Nobody's picking up. I'm sure everybody's clamoring at CNN. I'm sure it'll be Rachel Maddow's next guest, right? And so isn't that positive? I love it. So he's saying, and he at one point, by the way, had said he would not even vote. He was considering not voting for Trump. Okay, that's how much he's saying that he is just, I'm a believer. Now, I know you're a believer. I'm a believer. And I know my next guest is a believer. So we will get around the corner. We'll get to the beautiful, the one and only beautiful and brilliant Maria Bartiromo. Hear what she has to say about our great economic summit, the big, beautiful bill, all of the above. She recently had dinner with President Trump, by the way. Maria is next. Thanks.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Being here this morning at Dawn Stensland on X, my next guest needs no introduction. She is a beautiful, brilliant anchor, global markets editor, Mornings with Maria, at Mornings Maria, if you want to follow her, if you're not already, at Fox Business. And, of course, her at Sunday Futures Show, Emmy Award-winning journalist, broadcaster, the original Money Honey. Hey, Maria. Good to have you back.
Hello, Dawn. How are you? Thanks so much for having me.
And you know what? I'll have to mention to you, my husband is Larry Menti, because you guys, I think, worked together at NBC at some point. So I didn't know if you know that, but he said to say,
that's right.
Hi.
I did not know that. Wonderful. Please send him my best regards.
Oh, you're such a sweetheart. You know, for somebody in the business, it's a tough business. I will say you have such a great reputation, impeccable reputation, and you're always breaking news. I wonder if you could take us through. I want to get to the Genius Act and crypto, but just your take on what happened right here in Pennsylvania, where I'm broadcasting from. It was Pittsburgh. I'm in Philadelphia. But just this first ever summit where President Trump attended, six cabinet members, Maria, and titans of industry internationally and locally. What do you make of, what's your reaction to yesterday's big announcement that came out of Pennsylvania about energy and as well AI?
Well, Dawn, I think it was such an enormous situation with all of the investment that President Trump was able to gear into America. I mean, he announced yesterday $92 billion of new investment. Companies like Google and Meta and Constellation Energy and CoreWeave and so many others announced that they were going to invest billions of dollars in data centers, in the powering up of AI, in energy, in technology, AI. All of the above. And, you know, all of those companies went there with the expectation that President Trump was going to once again herald in growth as a priority. And, you know, when you take a step back and take a look at all that we've been talking about and everything that we've been through in terms of the big, beautiful bill and the debate over spending cuts and how you're going to spend, you know, you're going to pay for this big, beautiful bill, I think so many people miss this moment in time, which is quite extraordinary. And that is about AI and the growth that will come from AI. And because of that, I think you will see much better growth numbers for the economy than anyone was expecting, because this is one of those dot-com moments. Remember in the early 90s, you had all these dot-com companies going public, and it was this new era. You know, anybody who had a dot-com at the end of its name, you know, was higher valued. That's where we are right now, because with artificial intelligence, it is changing things to such an extent and moving us forward to such an extent in so many ways that it's going to trigger new industry, new job creation, and we're going to need so much energy, more energy to power that up. There's going to be construction jobs, energy, oil jobs, you know, technology jobs. And that's really what that was about yesterday in Pennsylvania, where all these companies went and announced investments into America, particularly into Pennsylvania, to support this huge new growth engine that is AI. We are, you know, pressuring the grid, the electrical grid, and then we're going to need all these new trades jobs as well. We're going to need more electricians, more plumbers, more contractors. All of this is creating lots of jobs, lots of opportunities. I was also talking with another manager, a CEO of one of the major telecom companies, and he told me that as a result of AI, his managers who are running some of his businesses at Motorola now, you know, Motorola makes the flip phone, and they also make a lot of technology for government agencies and national security. He said his managers are 25% more productive because of AI. Yes, that is going to mean that jobs are going to be cut, because if anyone sees that they're 25% more productive because of one technology tool, they're going to fire people and they're going to. But it also makes the case that you're going to have new industries and creations of new jobs. We will need to be educated, and skilled sets are going to be more important, but you are going to see a much broadening out of opportunities in jobs. So I think it's all, at the end of the day, very positive, but I could understand why it would scare people initially.
Yeah, a little bit. You were also this morning putting out on X, talking about the Genius Act and doing interviews about, you know, the foundation for all the other crypto. And so I think a lot of people, here again, I think a lot of people are uncomfortable with crypto. You know, and people joke about where is the mountain where they mine the crypto, you know, thinking like it's like gold or something like that. So what can we, you know, what are you reporting on as far as that goes, the Genius Act, crypto, and why is President Trump really leaning into crypto because others have avoided it?
Well, I mean, look, the Genius Act is specific to the stablecoin, and stablecoin is not, you know, like Bitcoin or Ethereum or any of these other cryptocurrencies. Stablecoin is backed by the U.S. dollar. And the stablecoin legislation, the Genius Act, is just that. And it's like, let's say you're overseas and you want to send money into America, you want to send somebody money overseas, or maybe you're traveling overseas and you want to buy something and you want to use your dollars. it makes everything much easier. It's like a direct, purchase right on the spot. So remember a long time ago when we were just figuring out, how to send mail, right? I mean, how to send mail overseas. It was a different process to send it, to get an international stamp versus sending mail here. And then all of a sudden, email started. Now, you can send an email anywhere. You can send an email to me right now in New York, or you can send an email to someone who's living in Switzerland. That's what they're trying to do with the dollar, where it's that easy, where now you can just send an email and it's incredibly easy to just get a message to someone. That did disrupt mail, obviously. You don't mail as many letters. You don't use the stamps. However, it's been so much easier for you to get a message to someone overseas. That's what they're trying to do with the stablecoin. And the stablecoin will be issued based on the number of dollars. So it is exactly like the dollar, only it gets clunky when you want to move dollars around. You've got to go through the bank. You've got to get the approval from the bank if you're going from country to country. So it was harder. It took longer. And this stablecoin legislation, the Genius Act, will enable that to be much quicker. I mean, that's the easiest way I can explain it. But there was some pushback yesterday, and that's why some of the senators, some of the congressmen, meanwhile, in the House, were not sure about it because they were not sure about the idea that the Federal Reserve could create a central bank cryptocurrency. So the holdup was that the Senate's stablecoin bill did not include a ban on the Federal Reserve issuing a central bank cryptocurrency. The House included that prohibition, that it was banned for the Federal Reserve to start its own central bank cryptocurrency. And the reason that that's important is because that's what China has. China has a regular central bank cryptocurrency. And the word is that China uses it to spy on people, that they know what you're buying at all times. They know how you're spending your money, and that's not the case here in America. First of all, the Federal Reserve is not going to start its own central bank cryptocurrency. But the senators wanted, the House wanted to make sure that there was a ban on doing that because of the surveillance threat. And when it wasn't in the Senate bill, they said, well, why isn't it in the Senate bill? It's in the House version. The House version is called the Clarity Act. And it was in the Clarity Act, but it wasn't in the Genius Act. So that set people back. President Trump spoke to many of those people and I guess calmed their fears about any surveillance. But that was one of the things holding it up.
And in a way, what I infer from what you're saying, Maria, it's in a way combating like the swamp. I'm just trying to shorten it, but it, essentially to create an alternate, source where people, it kind of feels like cash, where you're paying in cash, where you're paying in crypto. In other words, you can trust it, but it's not like anybody is tracking you electronically.
Exactly. Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And if you have a central bank cryptocurrency, they feel that it can be tracked. Whereas because the stablecoin is backed by the dollar, it doesn't have that tracking threat. Now, the other thing is they're buying treasuries. And there's this enormous, the Genius Act also includes when it's backed against the dollar, there is a need to buy treasuries. And there's all this demand that's getting stacked up in terms of buying treasuries. So that's another reason that the lawmakers really like the Genius Act, because it also sort of gives you an embedded support for treasuries.
You know, I know you had, I think, Don Jr. on this morning fairly recently. You had a dinner with President Trump. You know, you're somebody who you've reported on this. You're award-winning as a financial journalist. And you're, like I say, the original Money Honey, which I remember well. You're sort of recognized for your beauty. And now I think you're recognized for the beauty within, the brilliance, right? And have lived that journey. You've known the Trump family, I think, from New York for a long time. What surprises you about this family, especially Maria, as we come, 1 year later with what happened here in Pennsylvania in Butler, PA, with that assassination attempt?
Well, I mean, let me just say first that I did not know President Trump very well until, he ran for president. I mean, I knew him a little.
You know, I used to have him on my show on CNBC as a real estate executive to talk about real estate. So I knew him a little, but I didn't really have sort of a friendship in any way. But what happened to me was when I saw the unfair treatment that he had faced as a result of all of the lies. When I got to Fox, I covered business for 20 years at CNBC, and I was at CNN before that for 5 years as a producer off, you know, on the background. But when I got to Fox in 2014, it was right before he came down the escalator to announce that he was running for president, and right before all of these rumors started that he colluded with Russia. And I, you know, got right to the point, got right to the nucleus of what was important, just the way I did on Wall Street by going on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. I went to Congress. I figured out who I needed to get to know. I have a great gut in terms of who I can trust. And I met Devin Nunes and John Ratcliffe at the time. And I started having them on every week. They were on my Sunday show every single week to poke holes into this whole idea of Russia collusion. I had been to Russia many times when I was covering business at CNBC. I knew that as soon as you enter Russian airspace, you can't bring your phone. I was told this years ago, don't bring your phone, because as soon as you enter Russian airspace, they have access to all your stuff. They've got your Rolodex, they've got your emails, they've got your calendar, everything. So bring a burner phone. Like, I knew this for years. So I knew that it was Russia that was undermining the West in many ways, and it had nothing to do with Trump. But I knew it for sure after meeting Devin Nunes and John Ratcliffe. So when I knew the truth, that, you know, oh, well, this was just a lie, this was just made up, that so this is just one political campaign trying to take down another political campaign. When I figured that out, I said, oh, my God, this is such a huge story that I just uncovered. I've got to yell this from the rooftops. I've got to tell everybody I know about this. And when I did that, I got so slammed in the media. I couldn't believe the way the swamp came after me to shut up. They wanted to shut me down. But I wasn't doing this because I had some relationship with him. It was, I was pursuing truth. Mm-hmm. And I said, listen, this is not true. I have to pursue truth. I have to get this out there. Little by little, I realized the unfair treatment that President Trump was facing, then candidate Trump. And that's when I really got on board. And I said, you know what? This is not right. I have to make sure to put the truth out there. And I need to make sure to show who this person is. Then I got to know the Trump family much better. And today, yes, I do know them very well. And what surprises me is, number one, for the family, how family-oriented and so much love there is in that family. I mean, they stick together. They are supportive. He is truly a grandpa. He loves his grandkids. He loves his family. Look at this beautiful family that he raised. They're business-oriented. Yes, Don Jr. was on today talking about his, you know, business. Eric is running the Trump organization. They're both very business-oriented. Their kids are also young, but also with an eye toward business. And they are very supportive. I mean, President Trump has been married a couple of times, and they all love each other. And, you know, the ex-wife is at dinners with the new wife. And, you know, the ex-wife knows Melania and respects her greatly. And Ivanka, you know, would also respect, you know, his wife, Mrs. Melania Trump, who's incredibly wonderful. And Ivana, you know, was also, you know, they were divorced, but she was, she would do things that would support her family and support President Trump. So I think that's something that's very striking. I mean, as you gain wealth and gain influence in this world, it's harder to stay humble. But guess what? They have. And as much as President Trump has this ego and, you know, and talks about himself and what he has done, he's actually quite humble. When you talk with him one-on-one, you know, and he's a family man. So for that, that's one of the best things I could say about the family. The other thing that I could say about him is that the pace that he operates in is just extraordinary. I mean, can you imagine? We've been here watching him now in his second term for 6 months. Look at all the things that he has gotten done. And look at this pace with which he operates. He has not had a day off. I mean, sure, he'll go on Sundays and maybe play golf sometimes, but he's working there too. He's with senators. He's with colleagues, and he's working. So I just think that the treatment that he has received from the mainstream media, from the swamp, from all these people who tried so aggressively to stop him, is all because they knew how effective he is. Mm-hmm. And they knew that actually he's going to put a fresh pair of eyes on government and try to figure out how to make things better for the American people. They didn't want things to change because they had their claws in government and were making money and getting influential and getting more influence, and they were great with that. They didn't want that to change. And when I look at some of this mortgage stuff that we're talking about, whether it's Letitia James, the charges against her, and around these new charges against Adam Schiff, yeah. I say to myself, well, you know what? Not only were these people inept, but they also may have been committing fraud. I don't know. They both denied it, so we'll see how this plays out. But the bottom line is there's a reason that, you know, he had all these attacks, all these lies, and then what, 90-plus indictments? Look how aggressive they were in trying to stop him. And look at the first 6 months. What a great job he's doing. Yes. It's incredible.
I agree with you. That's so true. What's coming up tomorrow morning? You want to do a tease for your show tomorrow?
Sure. We got a big show. Tomorrow I'm going to be talking with a number of senators. We've got Dave McCormick to talk more about what happened in Pennsylvania. We're going to look at the we've got an executive from Palantir Technologies. Dawn, one thing that I'm really into lately, this is the chief technology officer at Palantir. I'm into defense tech. Because now that you see what the agenda is out of the Trump administration and the focus on national security, you realize that investing in defense is a smart idea. And so, you know, we've got things like drones and surveillance and all this other stuff that's defense related. And Palantir is a big investor in there. So we're going to speak with the chief technology officer of Palantir tomorrow. And of course, we've got retail sales out. We'll get a check on the economy and retail sales. And I'm also speaking with the head of Booz Allen, which is a consulting firm. So we'll get a sense of how business managers are viewing the president's trade and tariff agenda as well.
Maria Bartiromo, thanks again. Always love when you're on. Love to hear from you. Thank you.
Thank you, Dawn. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too. She's wonderful.
She truly is.
And what a hard worker.
I don't mean to jump in here, but yeah. I always love to kind of point out when you have a guest who's just absolutely wonderful behind
positive,
the scenes.
Yeah, positive energy.
And just that positive energy she brings to this interview is, I just think that's mm-hmm. her as a person. She's just a wonderful individual. She really is.
And Dan, that's her, you know, Larry talks about her because he was at NBC for a while. So that's her reputation. You know, everybody who's worked with Maria over in television
mm-hmm.
Just talks about really? Just professional, just great to work with, really humble, and you know, and always looking to what's next.
Makes sense.
Yeah. I love her, and she simplifies it, you know, with crypto, thinking about, you know, the Genius Act, what is that, and putting it into layman's terms. Not easy.
So. Hell of a show tomorrow too with both McCormick
and
Palantir. McCormick local ties. I love that.
Yeah,
love it.
Even got the local angle in there. 855-839-1210. Thanks for being here today. I know it's a little fast-paced today because we have so much we're trying to jam in here and all the developing stories. And, you know, be safe as well before I head to break. You know, today the heat index is like 105 degrees today. It is like a swamp. Speaking of the swamp, it's like swampy air, the only place we'd ever want a swamp or not. Be right back. Locally, the biggest story for us locally is just the oppressive heat and all of these health warnings, National Weather Service warnings, because the feel-like temperatures, as they used to say heat index, the feel-like temperatures feeling more like 105, 110 degrees. So that is incredible. And as Maria alluded to, we'll get to, you know, tomorrow morning we'll start out with all of the latest economic information. And there is word, it's getting stronger as far as the news that President Trump is apparently leaning toward firing the Fed chair, who he originally had hired in his first administration. So will the Fed chair, will Powell be fired, and will it be sooner rather than later? This word is coming out of the White House. And speaking of which, he's now holding meetings with another prime minister. And this is the record pace at which this president works for you, for me, for the USA. A lot of positive news economic-wise as we look to what's going on in Philadelphia. And we'll continue looking at the Brinks armored truck worker who opened fire on those guys attempting to rob him. That's a huge story in Philadelphia that's making national news because we've seen these armored truck heists going on across the city. And there is believed to be, by my sources, saying, yeah, it looks like this is these are connected. But for this one truck worker, he's not going to let it happen on his watch. Open fire on the bad guys. So what a day in Philadelphia. The Dom Giordano Show starting now. Dom, there's never a dull moment with all the breaking news.
Of course, Dawn, no. And Kim Ward will be here, the president of the Senate. She was at the big summit, but she also has a lot to say about Stacey Garrity. And Doug Burgum says everybody, because of AI, should go into the trades. I'm not in that camp. I think let's not go overboard here with it. I see AI as more of a competition so that we don't get left behind, but not a panacea.
I want a robot that will clean my house and do the lawn. How about that?
Edge the lawn, too?
Yeah, the edging is very
the
important.
Edging with Roe, you know?
Yeah, very important. That's all. Just edge. They don't have to cut. Yeah. Could be a jungle, just as well-edged jungle.
The Dom Giordano Show is next.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.